Hey, let's go ahead and go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Got two verses here to get us going here tonight. We'll continue on and we'll be looking here today. I'm going to show you who is the devil deceiving in these last days. Who is the devil deceiving in these last days? We know that there's false teachers, there's false prophets, there's false doctrines out there, and people are being deceived and deceived and deceived. And it's getting worse and worse in this world that we're living in. So 2 Timothy chapter number 3, look here in verse number 12. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So what do we do? Verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." All right, we continue on. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this day and this opportunity here today. I thank you for those you brought here today and for those that are listening over the internet. Lord, I pray you have a message for each of us here today. Lord, I pray you'll use your word to penetrate the hearts of everybody here today, to grow us closer to you, and Lord, to grow our walk, to grow our faith. And let us not be blown about by every wind and doctrine out there. Let us be grounded in "Thus saith the Lord," the doctrines of your word. So help us now, I pray. Fill me with your spirit. Give me your words. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we are living in what the Bible calls the last days. And in these last days, God says deception is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. All you got to do is look at the world that we're living in. It's full of false teachers. It's full of imposters and manipulators and deceivers. And the Bible says all those are going to increase in these end times. Why is that, you say? Well, deception is one of the greatest tools that the devil uses. And that has not changed all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. The devil is a liar. He is a deceiver. He deceived Eve. Yea, hath God said. He still uses that today. Yea, hath God says. He's deceiving people, not by open rebellion per se, not by blatant atheism per se, but just by gentle deception. Not from people who run from the truth, but people who think they already have the truth. Not from people who are trying or want to destroy the church, but people actually sitting in the church convinced that they're fine and they're just okay. That is the tragedy in all of this. Okay, many people are deceived and they do not even know it. Deception will not always look outright evil. A lot of times it looks right. It sounds right. It sounds spiritual. Hey, it looks good. It feels good. But it's still wrong by God's word. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Deception looks like this. It looks like a man who thinks he's saved because he recited a prayer. But he never repented. He never changed. He never followed the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a woman who trusts her emotions, her feelings, over what the Scriptures say. Because, you know, I just feel like God would never. A teenager who grows up in church, knows all the answers, but never had that personal salvation experience. Deception. Those that are being deceived, they're out there. They're all over. Deception says you're good when you're not good. It says there's many roads to heaven. All paths lead to heaven. All religions will get you to the end spot of heaven. But Jesus says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Deception says that God wants you healthy, wealthy, and happy, but that's a lie of the devil. God wants us all to be holy. Now, don't expect deception to come with one of those warning labels that you find at the grocery store. It's not going to come with a warning label. It's going to come wrapped in some form of godliness. It's going to look good, like I said, but it's going to deny the very power of the Almighty.
Now the good news is not everybody is deceived in these days. Not everybody is. There really is no excuse for any saved person to be deceived. There's no excuse for a child of God falling into the deceptions of the devil. Everything that we need in this life to live a victorious life has been given to us. There's no excuse for any of us to be led astray of the devil. We have the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. The power of Almighty God, He is the author of truth living in you. We also have the King James Bible right here, the very Word of God preserved for us here. The perfect Word of God preserved for us, English-speaking people right here. We need to be in the Bible. If you're not in the Bible, you're going to probably end up getting deceived in this world. You see, too many of us, we follow the Fox News and we follow the TikToks and the Twitters and the Snapchats and the Facebook and I don't know whatever else is out there, but all those things that deceive people and lead you astray, all we need is right here in God's Word. And so today I want to look at four of these people that the devil is deceiving. Four of these groups of people, you could say. Four different groups of people that the devil is deceiving. The first two, by all means, would be lost. And the second, or the last two, we will be, by all means, Christians. So number one, we're going to see here that the religious are deceived. The religious are deceived. If you turn over to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, look there starting in verse number 21. We'll see here that the religious group, the religious person, is being deceived. Here in Matthew chapter number 7, in verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone," and you need to get this, "not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Not everybody is going to heaven. You see that? Not everybody that says, "Lord," not everybody that calls Him Lord, Lord, is getting into heaven. He says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And what is the will of the Father? Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's His will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now let's get into this. Verse 22, He says here, what's that first word? Many. That's a lot. Many. He doesn't say a couple or a few. He says many. Lots of people. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, Lord, look at all the things that we've done. Look at all the works. Look at all the preachings in your name that we've done." And in verse 23, look at that verse. He says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." You see, the religious are deceived. "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Religion doesn't take a person to heaven. Many people think the church can take you to heaven. "Oh, if I belong to this church or that church, or if I'm a member of such and such church, I'll get to heaven. And if I've been baptized in every single church there is in Macon, that's going to have to get me to heaven. But if that doesn't, you know, I can give to charity and I can give to donations and I can give, and I can do all these great works." But listen, none of that's going to get you to heaven. None of that is going to get you to heaven. Religion is not the way to get to heaven. Religion will keep a person lost and on their way to hell more than anything else in this world. Religion. These people here, they knew the name of Jesus. They called Him Lord. They did things in His name, but they were lost. Jesus did not even know them. Now, there's two different kinds of people who say, "Lord, Lord." There's two different types of people that are deceiving themselves with that false profession of faith. First, there are those who say they are Christian, but they do very little beyond that. They do very little. They'll talk openly about God. It's okay to talk about God, but don't bring up Jesus, all right? It's okay to talk about God, and they'll tell you, "You know, I've been a member of such and such church for 65 years. I've been baptized in that church." And they'll talk to you about that, and they'll talk to you about their beliefs a little bit, and they'll even
Hey, they even might attend that church every once in a while that they're members of. They might attend that church. They might give some money. They might help out occasionally. But here's the thing. They do just enough to make them feel like they're doing their part. Just enough to make them feel accepted. Just enough to ease the conscience, right? Some are content with showing up for just a service or two, doing the bare minimum, while others might do just a little more. But in the end, it's only to appease their persona. It's only to appease their flesh. It's only just to feel good enough that they've done enough in their own eyes, having nothing to do with obedience to God. And then secondly, there are those that say they are Christians and they do all kinds of stuff. They do a lot of religious work. They are busy. They are active. They are going to and fro. They are even passionate about what they do. And they sincerely call Jesus Lord. And their whole life is based on that. But despite all of what they're saying and what all of that they're doing, they're trusting in what they're doing. They're trusting in their works. I'm telling you, the religious people are being deceived. They're not trusting in Christ alone. I think of a couple of groups of people. I think of the Mormons. I think whenever I was in the military and stationed overseas, you know, that the Mormons were there. They had missionaries. They are devout about their missionaries going everywhere around the world and serving a sin as a missionary somewhere. They're devout about doing that. You know, I think of the Jehovah's false witness out there. The Jehovah's false witness, they make us Baptists look bad. They put us to shame. You know why? Because they're out there knocking the doors. Independent Baptists are sitting on the pews. You know, we can't go out. But the Jehovah's false witness are spreading a false gospel, a false Jesus. Then the Mormons, and there's others out there too, that are going about fervently while we have the truth and we're not doing anything with it. But now, the Pharisees in Jesus' day were very religious. Jesus talks about them. You know, the Pharisees, they fasted and they tithed and they memorized books of the Bible and Scripture. But Jesus calls them hypocrites. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 23, look there at verse 27. They're hypocrites. They are full of pride. They were full of self-righteousness. And Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse number 27 here, He says, "Woe unto you! Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward." Right? It's kind of like the independent Baptists that wear the suit and the ladies wear the dresses and everybody looks nice. And we carry our King James Bible with us, and we leave our house like we walk into church, and we leave the church, and we go home and live the defeated life. But then we put our smiles on to come to church, right? They look good. We look good on the outside, right? We look good on the outside, but he says here, but are within full of dead men's bones and on of all uncleanness, talking about the Pharisees. Jesus rebuked these Pharisees. They were the most religious people of the day because their hearts were far from God. You see, they had a form of religion, but no power with it. No relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, we need to grasp this. When we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, when we stand before Him, it's not going to be about what we've done. We're not going to be bragging about whatever it is that we've done. We're not going to be doing it. Whatever we've done is nothing compared to what Jesus did for us. What God did for us out of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We're not going to be bragging about what we did. Oh, Lord, look at all these wonderful works that I did. No, we're going to drop to our knees and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, John got a vision.
He got a vision of heaven and a vision of Jesus. And in verse 17, he saw Jesus. And he says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You see, when we see Jesus, we're not going to be, oh, I did this. And you were so glad, grateful to get me. Now we're going to drop to our knees, our feet as dead. You see, religion only leads to deception. The religious people there, religion only shows how inadequate our understanding of God really is. It only shows just how self-centered and how prideful that we really are as human beings, because we look at our own ability. We look at our own goodness. And the Bible says all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's none good, no, not one. So let me ask you here, are you doing what's comfortable in the Christian life? Are you doing only what's comfortable in the Christian life? Do you come to church when it fits your schedule? When there's nothing else to do? Do you serve when it's convenient? Do you give only when it doesn't affect your plans? Hey, I think about the thief on the cross. He's talking about religion. I think about the thief on the cross there in Luke chapter 23. You know, Jesus is on the cross in between two malefactors, in between two other bad people, two thieves. And one of them's mocking Jesus, but the other one says this. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He says, Lord, remember me. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He says, today, this very day. Hey, no, there's no such thing as a purgatory. All right, today, okay, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, this thief had no time for religion. He had no time to be baptized. He had no time to be a member of a church and do all these good works. But you know what he had? He had faith. He had faith in Jesus Christ. And that was all he needed. That was enough to secure his eternal soul. He believed who Jesus was, and Jesus saved him right there on the spot. Point being, religion doesn't save you. Only Jesus saves you. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross, was buried, he rose again the third day. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he'll take you to heaven when you die. Some of the most terrifying words in all of Scripture there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, when Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Moving on, number two, I want you to see here that those being deceived are not only the religious group, but they're also those that trust their feelings over God's Word. Those that trust their feelings over God's Word. In Proverbs 14, verse 12, the Bible says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's another group that we see, another group of people that the devil has deceived in these days, is those that trust their feelings. You see, many people have made up in their minds who they think God is. They've made up a vision or an image of God in their minds, and they think they know who God is, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's not the God in this book. And you got many false prophets and preachers out there, like Joel Osteen and Kenneth Copeland, viewing a prosperity gospel. The only prosperity is their pockets. Right, their pockets. They're filling up their pockets and their jets that they're getting. Right, all the while they're preaching a false gospel. We got these TV shows and these books, The Shack and The Chosen. Hey, those are wicked. You need to not be in that stuff. They represent another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. Right, The Chosen is produced by Mormon people. They have a different Jesus, not the same Jesus of the Bible that we worship. Right, there's many different people out there being led astray by their feelings and in these prosperity gospels, in these books, in these movies. And you know, another one is the yoga and the meditation thing that goes on today. Wicked, wicked, wicked. Why do you say that? Well, it's putting feelings over God. It's putting yourself above God. And it's promoting inner peace above God and inner peace in worship in self, basically. Right? You are strong. You are worthy. All these things, right? Go to your happy place. Basically what it is, it's a type of New Age self-worship that teaches us to empty our mind. Empty your mind. But the scriptures never say empty your mind. They say meditate on God's Word day and night. All the time. Be in God's Word. We don't need any of those other things. We just need God's Word. Philippians 4:8 says this. But finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, that's what we need to be thinking on. Not emptying our mind, but filling our mind with good stuff from God's Word. Hey, people will turn to whatever feels good. They'll trust whatever feels good. Instead of just turning to the Word of God and getting truth, we just look for things that are temporal, that only make us feel good for a moment. What is the warning? Well, the warning is look out for those things that attract our feelings. Look out for those movies, those books that do that. Anything that promotes self as God or elevates our feelings above the Scriptures. You see, people that trust their feelings over God's words, they'll say things like this. They'll say, well, I just don't think that God would send anybody to hell. Well, you're right. He doesn't send anybody to hell. You choose. He's given us a free will. He's given us a free will. We get to choose. But if you're trusting your feelings over God's Word, you're not going to know the truth. You got to get in His Word. People will say, well, I don't feel convicted of that sin yet. Well, here's the thing. When you have the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God, conviction has nothing to do with it. Thus saith the Lord. If God said it, that should settle it. Whatever's in God's Word, God says don't miss church. Don't miss church. God says don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hey, well, you know, I don't feel convicted that I should go to church. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we're convicted of. God gave a clear command in the Scripture, and it just needs to be obeyed. If you don't obey it, then you're disobedient to God's Word. It has nothing to do with convictions. And you can take that with anything in God's Word. Okay? But people will say this, and I know we've heard this before. People will say, well, I feel like as long as I'm sincere about what I'm doing, I'll be okay. As long as I'm sincere about the beliefs that I have, you know, God's going to understand and I'll get to heaven. Hey, the Mormons are sincere. The Jehovah's Witnesses are sincere. Matthew chapter 7, in those verses that we just read, they were sincere. But what did Jesus say? He said, depart from me, I never knew you. People that trust their feelings over God's Word. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's strong words there, right? He that trusteth in this heart. Now the world says follow the heart, doesn't it? Follow the heart. But the heart's not our friend. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful and our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know? Right? This thing that the world says follow and trust your heart. Hey, it may sound innocent, but I'm telling you, following your heart contradicts the truth of God's Word. It can lead us into sin by convincing us that something feels right. We want to do what feels right, don't we? We want to do, hey, if it feels right, it must be right. But sin often feels good for a moment, right before death, before it ends in destruction. If we follow our heart without checking it against God's Word, we're not going to confess our sins. We're going to be justified. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What I'm saying is the heart will lead us astray. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And that devil uses that. That devil will use our heart's desire to tempt us. In James 1:14-15, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every single time. Sin brings death. The wages of sin is death. Now that devil, the old Satan, he's going to tempt us with that. He's going to tempt, what he might tempt me with something that he won't tempt you. Or that he won't tempt you. Right? He's been doing this a long different times. You see, we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. And the devil knows how to use that. But the lie of the devil is, if it feels right, it must be right. But the thing of it is sin often feels right before destruction, doesn't it? That's why the culture will say, or the world will say, follow your heart. Follow your truth. It's your truth. Do what makes you happy. Now, what does that sound like? Who does that sound like? Sounds like Disney, doesn't it? Sounds like Disney. Disney's another thing. It's all wicked. It's wicked. There is it used to be subtle meanings and everything, and I don't think they're very subtle anymore. They're pretty much blatant spiritual themes that are contrary to the Word of God, and there's a whole bunch of them. I'm not going into them, but the one I am going to go into is this one. Almost every single Disney film includes the messages of follow your heart. Believe in yourself. Or look within to find the answer. So what's the problem with that? Well, it teaches kids to ignore the truth and follow what? Your emotions, your feelings. To put your feelings above God's Word. That's the problem. That's the problem. Psalm 101:3 says, I will not set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We got to guard our hearts. We got to guard our heart. Moving on, number three, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. These last two here, talking about the Christian. So this number 3 here, we're looking at the carnal Christian. The carnal Christian. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, look at verse number 1, starting in verse number 1. Looking here at the carnal Christian. 1 Corinthians 3:1, he says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So here Paul's writing to the church in Corinth, and he tells them more than once that you're carnal. These aren't lost people here. These are believers. These are saved people. Yet they were walking like the world. They were looking like the world. They were thinking like the world. And you know what? They were being deceived like the world. Now the devil, he's a liar and a deceiver. We know that. And we know he cannot take your salvation from us, all right? But he can deceive you into living like you never had it. There are many people in the world, or in churches even, that are truly born again, and they never grow. They never grow. As we read here in our text, they're carnal. They're still drinking milk. They're still sipping off the milky cup, right? Never got to the meat. But these people, they're in churches today, and they can sit in good Bible-believing churches, and they can be in ungodly churches, and it makes no difference. They feel just right at home, and they can be blown about with every wind and doctrine. And we think, why? How is that even possible? Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because they're controlled with the flesh and not the Spirit. In Galatians chapter number 5, let's turn there real quick. Galatians chapter number 5, this here is the key to the Christian life. You know, a lot of you have been saved a lot longer than I have, but what I've learned in my experiences is that if you're filled with the Spirit and not the flesh, there's going to be a better outcome. It's going to be a better outcome. If you're filled with the flesh instead of the Spirit, things aren't going to go well. And so that's the key, being filled with the Spirit, letting the Spirit lead us, not the flesh. In Galatians 5:16, he says here, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's the keys right there, to be filled with the Spirit. How do I do that? Well, you got to get in the Bible. You got to read the Bible. You got to confess sin, have a walk with the Lord. You got to be in prayer, and you know what else? You got to be faithful to church, to hear the Bible preached. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Many carnal Christians today live like they're slaves to sin, but Christ has already set them free. They say, well, I can't help it, right? As they're smoking the cigarette. I've been smoking this cigarette for so long, but the Bible says the old man is crucified. They say, well, I'm just human. I'm only human. But the Bible says we're a new creature. We have the Holy Spirit of God living in us. You see, they've been deceived into thinking that being saved doesn't really make much of a difference. It doesn't make much of a change. But the truth is, if you've been born again, you're not who you used to be. I'm a perfect example of that. Not who I used to be. We've been bought with a price. We've been bought with a price. Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, the Bible warns us not to be deceived. But you say, what has the carnal Christian been deceived about? Many things. Number one, he's been deceived about church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the carnal Christian has been deceived about church. They think that church is optional. It's optional. But the truth is, church is essential. It's a must. You know, Jesus Christ gave His life sacrificially, brutally, for the church. It's His church. He purchased the church with His blood. And so my warning to you is, hey, we should take heed to the way you treat His church. Because it's His church. Our church attendance is a big deal. But now the carnal believer, the carnal Christian, treat church like a restaurant. They come and get fed, and when they don't like the menu, they find another. But the church isn't a restaurant, is it? Not. In 1 Timothy 3:5, the Bible says the church is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's never God's will for anybody to bounce around from church to church. Hey, it's never God's will for you to go to this church this week and this church next week. God has one church for you. When you got saved, He has one place that He wants you to be. And so many people today are out of God's will because they're not even in the church that God wanted them to be in, that God willed them to be in. They just, oh, you know, all my friends go to this church, so I'm just going to go to this church. Well, you know, I'm just going to go to this church because it's closer to my house. You see, the truth of the matter is we need to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, King James Bible preaching church, no compromise, where there's biblical music, no compromise. God's will is not for you to go somewhere if there's compromise. It's not His will. He has a place for you to be. But now the carnal Christian, they say, well, I just can worship at home. I can just do church at home. But remember, the Bible says, not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. And here's one I got for you too. Now, many people will say this. They'll say, well, you know, that church is just full of hypocrites. I would go to church, but there's just so many hypocrites in that church. You heard that before? Right? Well, what about Walmart? You were just at Walmart earlier today. Kroger, Walmart. You know what? There's even hypocrites at Bass Pro Shops. Can you believe that? Wow. But here's another one for you. Nobody thinks about the workplace. But there's hypocrites at the workplace. Nobody has a problem going to the workplace, do they? Hey, all I'm saying here, hey, we got to move on to number four here. Lastly, not only looking at the carnal Christian, but now going to look here at the lukewarm Christian. If you flip over to Revelation chapter number 3, look here at verses 15 and 16. So who else is being deceived here? Not only the carnal Christian, but also the lukewarm Christian. Revelation 3, 15 and 16 here. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Serious warnings here. Serious warning. And again, Jesus isn't talking to an atheist. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to saved people, talking to the church. People who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And he says, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, and I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. The Laodicean church here hadn't thrown God away. They still attended church. They still sang the hymns. They still said prayers. But they were half-hearted. They were half-hearted in their worship. Remember, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. How many of you drink coffee? You drink your coffee hot, or you drink your coffee cold, but you don't drink your coffee lukewarm. If you drink, if that coffee is lukewarm, I'm not drinking it. I'm spitting it out. It's no good. That's how God feels about the lukewarm Christian. He says, I'll spit you out. Now, the lukewarm Christian doesn't realize how far they've drifted. They mistake the comforts in life for spiritual health. They say, well, we're blessed. Look at our bank accounts. Oh, we're blessed. Look at our buildings. Oh, we're blessed. Look at our programs, our attendance, our money in the bank, all those things. But you know what? God sees the heart. God sees the heart. The warning is there. As a lukewarm believer, we may be reading the Bible, but not obeying it. The lukewarm Christian, hey, we may sing, I surrender all, but surrender nothing. Remember, we come to church and smile, and we go home. Hey, we may carry a Bible, but never let the Bible speak in our hearts, change our lives, work in our lives. We never trust in God's Word enough for it to be a change in our life. Romans 13:11 says it's high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to get busy. It's time to do something about the lukewarmness in our life. We need to love the world. We need to serve with joy. We need to witness with tears. Hey, we need to be hot. We need to be on fire. We need to quit being half-hearted. We need to quit being lukewarm. So I have a question as I'm about to finish. You have a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate yourself. 1 being cold, 10 being hot. Rate yourself. 1 to 10. Everybody got a number? All right. Now, whatever that number is, I want you to deduct 2. So deduct 2 because why? Because we in this flesh are full of pride and we think higher than we are. So if you were an 8, the reality of it is you're probably a 6. Now, if you're a 6, then the reality of it is you're probably a 4. And so wherever we're at on that scale, I think we would agree on one thing. We all need to get a lot more hotter. We all need to turn up the fire. We all need to get out of the lukewarmness and get on fire for the Lord. Why? Because the warning is there. I don't want to be spewed out of His mouth, do you? I'll finish with this story here. A few years ago, there were some stories going on the internet about people that had bought what they thought were the brand new, newest edition of the iPhone on the street, you know, and they bought these iPhones and they were packaged, sealed, everything looked good and everything appeared right, and they got these home and they noticed it wasn't what they got. They got them home, opened the box, and they didn't find a brand new iPhone in those boxes. What they found was a chunk of white clay shaped like a phone with a plastic Apple sticker on it. They had spent upwards of $1,000, many of them, and what they got was taken. They got deceived. The box looked good from the outside, but it was completely fake. That's how deception works. We hold on to these false versions of Christianity that looks right, that looks real, that maybe even feels real. We think it's real, but it's not real. It has no power. It's worthless. And the warning, just like people that were robbed of their money, many will be robbed of eternity because they never search the Scripture. So how do we defeat being deceived? Right here. Be not deceived. And this is how we cannot be deceived. So let's close in prayer.